Today I'll be talking on Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 27, and I'll just read that now. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Today's sermon is going to be a little bit of a shorter one. We've gotten to a point where Christ is very, very blunt and straight to the point with what he is saying. So I've got three main points that I'd like to talk about this morning. First of all, children of God and their actions, those who claim to be children of God and the foundation of our faith. There was going to kind of be a fourth point there, but the foundation of our faith kind of covers that, and I'll explain more on that later as we get to it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. This sentence pretty well speaks for itself. People like this claim to be speaking the truth, but they are selling a lie. They don't know it yet, but they're in a hole and they are dragging others down with them. They only live for self-gain and take pleasure in their actions. And what's worse, but not only deceiving others, at times they deceive their own self. And I'll touch more on that later. As we read, and Wynn preached on last week, and I'm not going to go over what she said, but just read the scripture. Chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. As disciples and children of God, we will encounter many claiming to know the truth, claiming to know the way of life. And if we don't follow their claims or live by it, then we are more often threatened with destruction as a scare tactic to force admittance without question. As preachers and ministers of Christ, and to present the Lord's word, our job is to preach the Bible as is, regardless of personal beliefs and experiences. The Bible isn't what I claim it to be. It's what God says it is. And in the same way, the truth isn't what a large group of people agree upon. It simply is the truth. But as we read in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Now, this is the example I would give for this instance right here. If I was to stand before you all now and tell you, give to the poor and those in need, but later today you saw me walking down the street and a beggar comes up to me asking for change. But you see that this beggar has a scarf around his neck, and rather than give this beggar change, I reach out, rip the scarf off of him, push him out of the way, and keep going about my day. You would say that I'm a hypocrite and a liar, and I do not truly believe what I preach or live it out. Therefore, the fruits that come from my actions speak all the more louder about who I am than what I say with my mouth about myself. The same is to be said about false prophets and false preachers. The actions and the fruits produced from their actions will expose them completely for who they are. They will not be able to hide themselves even if they tried. As our Heavenly Father knows all and sees all, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows who are His children, and He knows those who are not. Verse 17 to 18. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the deceased tree, bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a deceased tree bear good fruit. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 3 that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, it will not stand. He gave this example by saying, how can Satan drive out Satan? But in a similar way, how can the word of Christ testify against the word of Christ? Unless you are misusing it and misrepresenting it. Christ promotes Christ. It doesn't contradict Him. But there are, again, false prophets that would misuse and misrepresent the Lord's name. And that is deceit. I'll read to you now Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Have discernment. Test what is being said. For severe is the punishment of those that would misuse the Lord's word and guide others down the path of destruction. Verses 19 and 20. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I said we would talk on it again. The deeper explanation of the idea of liars who trick others is only one point of spiritual deception. The other side is self-spiritual deception. They deceive themselves. These people believe, well, they look at supposedly their good works and labors. That being, by my efforts and my actions, which I have done myself, I believe I deserve heaven. And they may even claim to know God or Jesus as Father and Lord whilst doing these actions and presume that He gives them the thumbs up and that they're okay in doing what they do. However, as it is said, only those who do the will of the Father will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that starts with legitimate faith. And turning away from our sins and turning to Christ, faith, and here's the most important part of all, in Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. I'm now going to read John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29. Then they said to Him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. That you believe in Him whom He has sent. Faith. not on what we have done, but what Christ has done. And John chapter 15, verses 4 to 5 tells us, abide in me and I in you, as the branch itself cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 22. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? As Christ just said, a branch by itself cannot bear fruit. Unless we abide in Christ, for apart from him, we can do nothing to earn our own salvation. And for those that may be of the mindset that they are and they can, that I know I've got some flaws about me, but I'm working on it. I can get myself right, and I know I can come to God, be morally perfect. Good luck. Best of luck to you. Christ just stated, he is the vine, we are the branches. We bear no good fruit unless in him. So what hope do we have to clean up our mess and then come to God? And for those that genuinely do believe, if you are of the belief that you will get yourself right, then verse 23 says this, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That sounds harsh. Workers of lawlessness. It's referring to the law of Moses, which was given to him by God, and having the mindset of, it's okay, God, I don't need you. I can get there myself. Ultimately, spitting on the cross of Christ. That is a worker of lawlessness. Verses 24 to 27. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, as a carpenter who has built houses for a living, and Jack can agree with me on this, done it more than me, one of the most important jobs of a house building process is making sure that the foundation is built correctly and adequately. If you don't get that right, it doesn't matter what you build on top of it, it will not be structurally adequate. If the foundation is not right, it doesn't matter how well you build the walls or how well you build the roof, it will fall. It won't be straight, it won't be level, it won't be plumb, it won't be square, and the terminology used is that it won't be true to itself. The same is to be said about those claiming to be followers of Christ. Both the building on the rock and the building on the sand will face the same storm. We, the children of God, will face challenges in our life and suffering and hardship. And that will be the testing of our faith and the foundation of our faith. What it is do we have our faith built upon? Only those with the true foundation will remain intact and standing. And that is, again, the magic word, in Christ alone. In Christ alone shall we remain steadfast in our faith and persevere. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we are told, and there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. When we do face these struggles and hardships in life, how do we respond to them? Do we ball our hand up into a fist and put it in misplaced anger, shaking it at God? Or do we first humble ourselves, praise in his name, and put it on his yoke that gives us rest and peace? 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 7 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." I've lost my point. "Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed, while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And Philippians chapter 4 verses 4 to 9 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Now, we're also told in James chapter 2, verse 17, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." So works without faith and faith without works is dead. And now this is the very cautious part I ask you to be concerned with and have discernment with. Yes, the children of God will be doing the will of the Father, but that comes after first knowing the Father personally in a relationship. You first have faith, understanding God's love, Jesus' sacrifice and death for you. And then out of that love, you are shaped and formed, and your actions are a byproduct and flow out of that love. First understanding what the Father has done to sanctify us, to redeem us, to save us, and to adopt us and call us his children. Derek and Jody would use this point all the time, and I'll use it now. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia. A lot of people in life, a lot of people would tell you, repent. Just simply stop doing that thing that is eating you up inside. Get your act together and then come to the Father. That is blasphemy. That is not true at all. The true word for repentance, the Greek word, is metanoia. That meaning a change of mind. As it's been stated in Scripture before, by the renewing of your mind. First knowing the Lord, first knowing Christ personally and in a relationship, and out of that love being transformed. We have been blessed with a sovereign Father. We know we make mistakes in life, and we know that even as children of God right now, we will continue to make mistakes. God, being all-knowing and all-foreseen, was not once expecting you to clean up your mess. He wasn't expecting to trust in you to pull yourself out of the muck that we at times put ourselves in. He has trusted in himself, in Christ, by sending Jesus to die in our place as a sin propitiation offering. So you see here where Christ says you will know a person by their fruits. And the only ones that will be in heaven will be doing the will of my Father. The ones in heaven will know the Father personally first. And then they will be doing the will of the Lord. The fruits of the Spirit, our fruits that we produce from our actions, is actually the Father working within us. I myself know I'm flawed. I can't do right as much as I try to. But the Holy Spirit works within us. It guides us. And as we said, and I've said before in Proverbs, many plans is in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail. He guides your step. He leads you down paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You are not being told to look at yourself. First, deny yourself, take up your cross, and look to Christ. It is the Lord's fruit, and it's the Lord's will that is being done, not our own. I'm just going to finish up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give a great deal of thanks, Lord, that you knew that we were going to fall short. Father, that you did not just leave us in our hardships and suffering that at times we cause to ourselves, but Father, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. Lord, I thank you that your Spirit works wonders within us. Lord, that it does guide us. And Father, that we don't have to try and get ourselves perfect in order to know you. For we know we can't. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you that you have forgiven us. Lord, I pray at times that when we are in struggle and hardship, we do tend to ball our hand up into a fist and shake it at your face. Lord, I pray that you'd work within our hearts. Father, I pray that you'd help us take upon the yoke of Christ, which is light and gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, do have us turn to you in times of hardship. And Lord, I thank you that regardless of the plans within a person's heart, it's your plans that prevail. Father, we just pray, all power, glory, and praise be to you forever. Amen.